Boris Captain speaking. We're going to get you out here just as soon as possible. It is pushback time right now. Flight time today, 3 hours.
It's been said that all roads lead to God. And this makes a certain amount of sense. In life, there are 1,000 different ways to get where we're going. Winding scenic paths, wide, fast highways. We can walk or ride, drive or fly. Wrong turns and detours may slow us down, but sooner or later we make it. We get where we want to go. Could it not be the same for our souls? We all search for meaning, for fulfillment, for purpose, for God. But we come from different places, we're different people, and we don't all travel the same roads. But surely, if we try our best, if we follow our heart, if we believe in ourselves, we'll make it. Everything will work out. We will find salvation in the end. But there is a flaw in this way of thinking. The path to God is no road at all. It is a person. His name is Jesus. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No matter the road we choose, at the end of this journey that we call life, there stands a gate. Shut fast. It is not opened for good people. It will not budge for those who lived right or loved well or did great deeds. It will only open for those who put their faith in the Son of God. Those who, in life, called upon the name of Jesus and believed him when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me."
Merry Christmas. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together as we look at your word together. Lord, we know that every day of our life is filled with richness and meaning because of you. Lord, this day is the day that we celebrate. It's a day that changes everything for us. We pray, Lord, that as we hear your word today, that you would work in our hearts as you only can do. We pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you ever look back on your life and think, I wonder how I wound up here? Of all the places I could have gone, of all the choices I could have made in my life, or of all the things that could have happened to me in my life, I wonder why it is that God had me wind up right here. There's so many stories in life you hear from people. There's so many stories in life that you've lived and walked through yourself. There's so many stories that, of course, we read in places like Scripture that talk about the ups and the downs and the experiences of life. And the more you engage with those stories, the more you experience the depth and the richness that life has to offer. The stress, the anxieties, the joys, the happinesses, the disappointments and the regrets, and the hopes that people have, that people cling to in the midst of all of it. Like the video talked about, life is full of different roads. Every day you wake up, you're given a different road, a different path to travel, different things that you have to navigate in your life, different journeys. And as we walk down the roads of life, we learn all sorts of things and we experience all sorts of things. Maybe you just came into a new relationship with somebody who's brutally honest. Have you ever done that? And somebody tells you something that you didn't realize about yourself that you needed to hear that day. Maybe you've come into a relationship with someone like that. Maybe you became a parent, or maybe you became a grandparent, and you began to learn about priorities in life, and you began to learn about managing things in life. Maybe you went to college. Maybe you began to seek out an education. And you just saw how much there is that we don't know and how much wealth of information that we have that we can lean on and share with each other. Maybe you've gone through a difficult season for whatever reason. And you've learned patience. And you've come to learn that you cannot expect life to be easy. You've learned that some of the most valuable things in the life are the things that require the most effort. And you've learned that the best things in life aren't things, but they're people. You've experienced these journeys. You've gone down these roads. Do you feel ever uncertain about your life? Where things are headed? If you don't, give me your number. I'd like to talk to you. There's a young woman. She's a blog writer and she's a mentor to other young women. And she shared this story of disillusionment and uncertainty that she's had from when she was a young woman. She wrote this: "I remember being a little girl, twirling next to my daddy, wishing I could know that he loved me. Maybe in his own way he did love me, but something was broken in our relationship that left me feeling desperate for reassurance. Over the years, God has healed my heart in miraculous ways. Through God's promises, I've been reassured of all those things I wish my earthly father would have said to me. I know God's love for me is deep, unwavering, and certain, but there's still times where I catch myself twirling again, crying out again, wishing I could feel totally secure, hating my insecurities, and mad that this struggle that I thought was over keeps surfacing. I can stand in any arena with thousands of people clapping for a message I gave and still feel my heart desperately twirling within me. I can conquer my food demons and finally fit back into my skinny jeans, and still my heart desperately twirls. I don't know what tough things you've been through, but I do know this: brokenness is universal. We all have things in life that trigger deep insecurities and our own personal twirling, searching for reassurance. For all of us, at some level, this is a universal experience, this twirling that we go through in life, the experience of living in a broken world. There's these different roads, especially roads of difficulty, that we walk down, that lead people to come to different conclusions about life. Many people come to the conclusion that because life is hard, because life isn't fair, that there is no God, because of the pain that you see in the world, because of the unfairness in the world. Many people come to the conclusion that if there is a higher power at all, that power is distant. Power really doesn't care for us. Therefore, the only thing that matters is what's doing what's right for you in this life. Many people conclude that there is a God, but that God will only accept you if you live up to a certain standard that He's set for you. And many people see that God is a God of love, which means that we don't need to do anything outside of trust in His love to receive what He has to give to us. But even for believers in Jesus Christ, even for people who would call themselves members of that last group that I just read to you, even people like that who live by faith in the Lord can experience the challenge of believing words like this. Romans 8:28, God works for good for those who love Him. That can be a hard thing to believe sometimes. Or Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. But God, I've been knocking, and it certainly doesn't seem like that door is opening. For anyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. These verses sometimes don't feel true in light of desires that we have that feels like God ignores. And you know those things that are deep down in your heart that you don't share with people. The things that are deep down in your heart, your deepest insecurities, your deepest worries, your deepest regrets. And sometimes you feel like that prayer that you have, that cry that you have for the Lord, that's an unanswerable prayer right there. Surely God can't take care of that. Living in a broken world beats you down. It beats you down every single day. It's hard to get back up. every single day. Our sinfulness, our contributions to the brokenness of the world, our experiences of the brokenness of the world put upon us, the effects of sin in the world, are a weight that are simply too heavy for us to carry. And each of us have to try to find ways to cope with the brokenness of the world around us. Today, in your right here, as you can see it in your bulletin for today, we read Psalm 130. So if you would pull that out, it's on page 2. I want to just share a couple of words to you today, tonight, from Psalm 130. I'm just going to read the first part of this. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. This is an example of people trying to cope with life, with the difficulties that you see in life. They're calling out to the Lord out of the depths, from the deepest part of themselves, that part of you that nobody knows about but you. They're calling out of the depths of their heart to experience peace and to experience hope in the world. They so desperately want, in this case, mercy from the pain of their experiences in life. So they do what they know to do. They do what they've been trained to do. Of course, in the ancient Jewish culture, you grew up praying these prayers and calling out on the Lord. So they do what they know to do, which is they sing to the Lord a prayer on the way to the house of worship. That's where they would have sung this as they were walking into church. They sing this together on the way to the house of worship. And they remind themselves, what do they remind themselves of when you read this? I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. They're reminding themselves of the word of the Lord that they have heard, the word of the Lord that they have come to know over the course of their life. They're reminding themselves of the promises of the Lord for them. They know what their daddy has told them and how he cares for them. And they're twirling and twirling and twirling and trying to be sure that what their daddy has told them is real for them and true for them. And what they're left with at the end of all of this is the love of God for them. See how this psalm finishes tonight. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For look at this line. With the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. They're sure and they are certain of the love that God has for them in the midst of their twirling, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the brokenness. In this psalm, they remember his never-ending, unquenchable mercy and his never-ending, unquenchable love for them. Brothers and sisters, you are more sinful than you ever thought you were. You're more sinful than you possibly think you could be. And yet you're also more loved than you ever dreamed you could be. The beauty of that statement is that it doesn't become unrealistic at either end. It's not the sin end and it's not the grace end where that falls apart. Your sinfulness, which is worse than you think, the brokenness of the world around you, which is even worse than you think it is, and sometimes it's very obviously broken. It's even worse than that. This brokenness, this sinfulness is paid for you at an infinite cost, at an absolutely infinite cost. God's valuing of you is a free gift of grace that you don't deserve, but that he delights to give you. And that's why he gives it, because he wants to value you, because he wants to love you. And it's okay to acknowledge the depth of the brokenness of the world inside of you and the world around you, and the pain of the world around you and the pain inside of you. It's okay to cry out to God with the cries that your heart has to give, that only your heart knows about. Don't hide from the Lord the parts of you that you think he doesn't want to see, or the parts of you that for sure you don't want him to see. Every time there's the slightest sense that he loves you, every time that there is the slightest sense that he values you, that he's taking you into his family, hold on to that. Hold on to that. You don't deserve what you're getting from him, but it's a free, blood-bought gift of grace overflowing from the loving heart of your Father and he loves to give it. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Because of the baby we worship in a manger, there's an invitation for you today. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to open it with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah is just about there in the middle of the Bible, slightly after the middle of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm just going to read a very small portion of this for you today. Beginning of verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. It's an open invitation to anybody who needs some water. It's not contingent upon where they're coming from. It's not contingent upon how they're getting there. It's not contingent upon how thirsty they are. It's just simply that they're thirsty. If you're not thirsty, don't come. If you're not thirsty, don't come. The summons is for everyone, but the response is only for those who acknowledge the fact that they're thirsty, who acknowledge the fact that they need someone to provide them with living water. Come, the second half of that verse, come buy wine and milk without honey and without cost. This is a picture of a moment too good to be true. Wine and milk back then meant the best of everything that they have to offer you. Come buy wine and milk, the expensive, the very nice, the party things. Buy wine and milk without cost to you. It's free for you. What you have to normally pay for, no, you don't have to pay for that today. Not today. Not this time. And when you drink of it, and when you receive that invitation from the Lord, he fills you up like you're hoping he does. In life, you really only have two options at the end of the day. You can believe that Jesus is a lie. Historically, you can look at Jesus, and historically, you can back it up that he existed. So when you're confronted with the historical reality of Jesus coming into the world, you can believe that it's all a lie, that the universe is governed by a random set of rules, or by chance, or by some impersonal force that has no care for you, that you're insignificant, and when you pass away, that's pretty much it. There's no more meaning to your life than that right there, than the right here, the right now, and pretty much within three generations, you'll be forgotten. Or you can believe in something greater than that. And not something greater than that, but like the video said, someone greater than that. That our universe isn't governed by some impersonal force or random chance, but it's ruled by a person. And that person is God. And the world is at the hands and in the mercy of the kingdom of God. And this person isn't just any person. He's a person who actually wants you to have significance. He wants your life to be important. He wants you to feel valued and to feel loved and to feel forgiven and to feel right with him. And he gives you that significance by becoming like you and by connecting you to himself so that you aren't some cosmic blip on a radar. You're a lot more than that. You're a contributor to the grand story of God. The young woman I spoke of earlier puts it this way: while brokenness is universal, God's redemption is also universal for those who proclaim Christ as Lord. Have you caught your heart twirling, desperate for reassurance lately? Today, spend a few minutes letting these truths fill your mind and seep into those desperate places of your heart. From Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ for you. Or this one from 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Or from Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I pray that these truths flood your heart with peace like they do mine. And I pray that this peace gives you permission to stop twirling and live like you're loved. Merry Christmas.